Someone say, I am the church.
I am the church.
We, in fact, as individuals, as a corporate body, we are the church of the living God. Not these walls, not these lights, not the cross hanging outside the building. We are temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the church. So as the church goes, we go. Or as we go, the church goes, you could say. Amen? Yes. We've been talking about restoration in our life. And I want to continue in that vein. I think this may be my fourth week on it. But I believe it's important, and I believe that the Holy Spirit is trying to get something across to us in the way of restoration. I gave you a definition of what it was. The worldly definition, it says an act of restoring or the condition of being restored, such as bringing back to a former position or condition. But we've said all along that God brings us back to a place of restoration better than before. You know, you think about restoring cars or watches or pinball machines. And, I don't know what would consider, if you could restore those things back to better than before. I guess you could put a bigger engine in the car. But see, some people are real, it's like numbers matching and original equipment, and they see that a bigger engine as not being better than before. But what is God's idea of restoration in our life? And I hope you've been thinking about it. I hope you've been meditating on that. You know, what is restoration in my life? What does that look like? What are the areas in my life that need to be restored unto me? You know? What are the areas in my life that I need restoration in? I hope you've been taking stock, taking inventory as we've been speaking about restoration. And, you know, last week I talked about the gifts of the Spirit and how they bring restoration to our life. You know, the nine gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, miracles, healing, discernment of spirits, speaking in tongues, discernment of tongues, and I'm missing one. Help me out. Yell it out. Prophecy. And how these things can bring restoration in our life. And I purposely didn't dive down or drill down into each gift. And we're not going to do that today either. Again, I think that's for another time. But we did finish up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to repeat this because it bears repeating. And it's what I want to get into today, where we read that last verse. And I am in, 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. You know, this is directly after where he names those nine spiritual gifts in the baptism of the Holy Spirit that are received. But in verse 31 it says, "But earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces, that is the higher gifts and the choicest graces. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way, one that is better by far and the highest of them all. And it's love." It's love. And that's what I want to talk about today. Love bringing restoration in your life. And if we go on, in chapter 13, it says, if I can speak, and you know, we just got this list of all these wonderful gifts, these supernatural spiritual gifts, and they are to be used, they are still available today, and they will bring restoration in people's lives. But in verse 13, he goes on and says, if I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. That, it just will bounce off of you. You know, someone brings you a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. They have a discerning spirit. And they speak something over you. If it's not in love, it just bounce right off of you. It's kind of like that selective hearing we talked about. Men, you know what I'm talking about. Don't act all holy and pious. Selective hearing. You know, it's like selective hearing when it comes to the Holy Spirit. It's like if I'm not walking in love, or the person that's sharing with me is not in love towards me, it's like we're not going to hear it. It's not going to become revelation to us. It's not going to get down inside of us and take root, because it's not in love. And he goes on and says, and if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. And we said, that's kind of harsh. Those words, a useless nobody. Nobody wants to hear that they're a useless nobody. But the word says, if you don't have love, that's what you are. Amen? Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods, even though I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and I surrender my body to be burned, and in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Love endures long. Let me read that again. Even though I dole out all that I have, even though I dole out, I believe that that would apply to our tithes and offerings. If we are not tithing in love, if it's out of compulsion, if it's out of tradition, if it's out of obligation, and not love for the Father and the work that He's doing in this earth through this body, through whoever, if we're not giving in love, what does it say? What does it say? It says, I gain nothing. I gain nothing. The benefits mean nothing to you. The benefits mean nothing to you. Love endures long and is patient and kind. This is, y'all have heard this if you've been married. A lot of pastors use this at weddings. I've used it myself in performing a ceremony. But I want you to hear it in a different light today. Don't hear it under the of a marriage ceremony. Hear it for the first time when it comes to restoration. Okay? Love endures long and is patient. It's kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful or vainglorious, and it does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. And our prophecy is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. But when the complete and perfect comes, the incomplete and imperfect will vanish away. When the complete and perfect comes, that love comes, it'll bring complete restoration. It'll bring complete restoration. And we can operate in this love. This is what I'm here to tell you today and encourage you in. We can operate in this love here in this earth. You know, I know that verse points to Jesus coming back for his second time. But we can operate in this love that I'm talking about in the here and now. It is possible. Amen? And when we do, it will bring restoration to our life. We must have love as foundation for everything that we do and say. Love. It has to be the foundation. Amen? I want to dig down a little deeper into what that may look like, but I believe God gave me this example. You know, I'm a kind of a sci-fi guy. I like watching science fiction. I know. It's probably not the holiest thing that I do in my day. But I do like science fiction. I was watching this movie the other day, and there was this scene where this boy had, and you may know about it, this boy traveled to another planet. Let's just call it a planet. He traveled to this other planet. He was a very special boy and had very special giftings. And he was very technology-oriented, right? And so he was helping this other planet out. And I know this is really weird. just go along with it. There is a point to it. If you can get past all the sci-fi stuff, there is a point. So he's up there, and there's this girl that's assigned to be his helper. You know, they're kids, right? Assigned to be his helper to show him around the new place and make him feel comfortable and, you know, show him their ways and all this stuff. And so this little boy, just he kind of grew up with this little girl, and he really grew to have feelings for, you know. I mean, like, just love this girl, you know. And long story short, I'm going to cut it off quick because I can see y'all's eyes just glazing over with my sci-fi story. You said, Todd, it's about science fiction, like, you know, lasers and stuff, not love. No, I know. They don't make new movies, you know. They just put new skins on them. It's the same plots, you know, just new skins, right? So anyways, where was I? This boy, he's got this affection for this girl, and this girl ends up being a robot. There's the science fiction part. And so this boy, long story short, he gets hurt, right? He gets kicked out, goes back to Earth, and he lives this dejected life. And it's sad. I'm not laughing at him. I'm sharing this story. It's kind of silly. But so, oh gosh, I'm getting lost in my thoughts. The boy has feelings for the girl. The girl is a robot, so she cannot return the love to him. She cannot return the love because she's a robot. Robots don't have feelings. They don't understand things like love. And so it made me think, this is the spiritual side. God so loved us that he gave his son. And I wonder how he feels when we don't return that love to him. I was just meditating on that. And I'm not saying that God gets emotional, but I believe, well, I'm sure there's scripture for it that it bothers him. Let's just say that. When we don't return that love back to him. So what I want to talk about today is why we need that love. Not only from him, but why we need to return that love to him and how that can bring restoration in our life. All right? Thank you all for indulging me on my science fiction rabbit trail. But there was a point. So I want to turn over to, this is out of the New International Version. We don't have it in the computer. We're going to fix that soon enough. Does anybody have an NIV Bible? Anybody? You do? Ah, I got one too. Thank you, Bridget. They just brought that back to my remembrance. This is a New International Version. Let me get to it. Bear with me. Thank you, Glenn. Will you entertain the people while I'm being disposed of? Oh, glory be to God. Where am I at? I want to go to Ephesians chapter 3. And we're talking about love bringing restoration to our lives, how it operates, how it plays a part in bringing restoration to our lives. Amen? You know, the cool thing about this is it's got a clock on it, too. I might start doing this. Let's go to, what did I say, chapter 3, right? Ephesians 3. And I'm going to start in verse 14. Verse 14. But the reason I need this is because I printed out some of them because I don't have an NIV Bible. But I didn't print certain verses out. So Ephesians 3, 13 out of the NIV, it says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." This is Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus. He says, "For this reason." Well, what reason? Well, we got to back up and read verses 8 through 12. And I believe this is the reason Paul is kneeling before the Father. In verse 8 it says, "Although I'm less," this is Paul talking about himself, "although I'm less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. And his intent was that now, through the church," say, "I am the church.
I am the church.
Through you, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." So this is what Paul is saying, that the reason why he bows his knee before the Father is because the mystery was given unto him to reveal the church age, what the church is, and its relationship to God. Amen? Paul was tasked by God to preach this mystery. Right? Y'all, he went to the Jews and they rejected him, so he said, All right, I gave it to you, but now I am going to the Gentiles. I am going to the heathens, those that have no relationship with God. How many know that there are three people groups alive in the earth today? Three people groups. The Jews, those that got the oracles of God originally, the chosen people. The Gentiles, you could say heathens if you want, if that makes you feel better. And the Christians, or those by the blood of the Lamb, have relationship with God, grafted in with the original Hebrew people. Three people groups. And this was Paul's task, to share the gospel, to share about the church, the mystery of the church, the Gentiles, the heathens being grafted in, the wild olive branch being grafted in to the olive tree, to the Hebrew nation. Okay? This was his task, to take this mystery to the world. The mystery hidden from previous generations of God's people, the Jews, up to this time, was that the Gentiles would gain equal access to God with the Jews through the blood of Jesus. Okay? Just laying some groundwork. Y'all got that? So let's move on. Verse 14 again says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray," listen to this, "that you, being rooted and established in love." Why? Why does he want us rooted and established in love? Verse 18 says, "that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. He wants you rooted and grounded in love. We're talking about love having the ability to bring restoration to your life. We're talking about being rooted and grounded in that love. Why? So that we may have power, together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Why do we need to know this? Why do we need to know how deep, how wide, how long? How wide, how long? I missed one. Why do we need to know this? Verse 19 says, "And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." That you may be filled, let me read that again, with or to the measure of all the fullness of God. One, I'm amazed that this earthen vessel can be full to the full measure with the fullness of God. But it's true. There is power when we are filled with the fullness of God. Verse 20 goes on and says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, for ever and ever. Amen." Let me say this. God can only do, he can only perform or show up in our lives to the degree that we believe, or as the scripture just said, according to his power that work within us. He can only show up in our lives to the degree of the power that is at work in us. What power? That love at work in us. He can't just go around and do what he wants. He's given us authority in this earth. He's given us faith. We have to apply that faith to uphold what the Word says in this earth. You know, he can't just go and selectively do what he wants in this earth. He needs us. He needs us. People out there that are lost and dying need us, the church. And we have to have this love of God operating in us, because without it, all these other things, the signs, wonders, and miracles that we're all believing for, are going to mean nothing without love. We got to get the love walk right first. That's why it's been said. I believe he's doing heart work in us here. I believe he's doing a heart work in the church universal. He has to. We got to get the love walk right. We've got to. We've got to walk in love. We got to walk in love with our neighbor. We got to walk in love with the people that hate us, that despise us, that say ungodly things about us. We got to walk in love with those people. You got to walk in love with your spouse, even when you don't want to. Even when they make it hard to. It's that love of God, that revelation of love that allows us, that graces us to do that. That power is love. And the gospel, it just doesn't work without love. It doesn't work without the God. Listen to this. The gospel does not work without love. Why? Because how did he start it? Because he so loved the world, he sent his son. What are we preaching? The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Without love, there is no gospel. So if there's no gospel without love, then love better is, we better understand it. We better walk in it. We better, y'all hearing me? It just doesn't exist without love. It doesn't exist. Turn over to John chapter 15. And I'll go back to the Amplified. Again, we're talking about the ability of love to bring restoration to our lives. John 15, verse 12. reads this way. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love. No one has shown stronger affection than to lay down or give up his own life for his friends. Jesus is saying, you are my friends. That's what he did. He laid down his life for us. So we, to return that love to God, have to lay down our lives. And that means different things to different people. I'm not here to give you a laundry list of what that means. It could mean different things to different people. It could be sacrificial love. It could be, you fill in the blank, praying for someone. It could be showing someone love that doesn't deserve it. But that's us returning that to Him. That's what I'm talking about. He loved us and laid down His life. So we're to lay down ours for Him and for us, for each other. Really? You know? We're to put, at times, our wants, our desires aside to assist someone else in theirs. Amen? And if you look back at Ephesians 3 again at verse 20, and I'll just, it says, He is able. God is able. Let me go back to it. Technology. I'm going to use it. 3:20 says, now to him who is able, talking about God, to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. He's able, right? Definition of able is this: having sufficient power, skill, or resources to do something. He is well able. God is well able. There is nothing. Genesis says nothing too hard for our God. Amen? But, like I said before, He's just not going to go around and fix things. It requires something from us. It requires that love returned. God is able. It just means He's ready and willing to act on our behalf as we have faith, according to the power that love at work in us. Amen? Faith, hope, and love. But what is the greatest? Love. Love. That's out of 1 Corinthians 13. It says, and so faith, hope, love abide. Faith, conviction, and belief respecting man's relation to God and divine things. Hope, joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. These three. But the greatest of these is love. You see, God doesn't respond to need. If God responded to need, we've shared, you know, there would be no starving children in Africa. If He responded to need, all of y'all, your bodies would be perfectly whole. Your minds would be perfectly sound. Your family would be perfectly great. If He responded to need. We all have needs, but He responds to faith. He responds to love, that love working in us and through us. We know, I mean, Scripture's very clear that we're going to experience trials in our life. You know, there's some... there's some doctrines out there that say, you know, we should never be sick. We should never be going through trials. We should never have sorrow. I don't read that in the Scripture. I think it's very clear. We are going to go through trials. Trials will come. But God has graced us to get through, to move through those trials, to get on the other side. Just like He told His disciples, you go to the other side, I'll meet you there. The storm came up. They thought they were going to perish. The word had already been given. Go to the other side. He'll get you to the other side. He will get you to the other side. We can be restored from these trials and to an even better place. According to our faith and patience, we're going to talk about patience. I know that Brother Copeland calls those the power twins, working together, faith and patience. But he will get us to the other side. He will get us to the other side. And think about this. It was mentioned earlier today about Job and his trials. Think about all that he lost. Everything that happened to him. Lost his family. Lost his prosperity. Even attacked his body. But what happened in the end? He gained all plus. Double what he had. And an important point was brought up, and I mean, I've heard this before, and you know, some of those things, you know, you hear so often, it's that selective hearing, you know, you just kind of let it go in one ear and out the other, or it just bounces off of you. But when did it change for Job? When he prayed for his friends. Prayer is a priority here at Christian Growth Center. I don't care if you hear anything else that I've said today, but I believe that you're hearing as the Spirit leads you to. Prayer. Prayer in your life. Prayer for this ministry. Prayer for the body of Christ. As the Spirit gives you unction, pray. I don't know if you've read that thing out there under that plow. You know, you're here, you're like, why they got a plow out there in the foyer? To bring your remembrance. To bring your attention to. Prayer breaks up the ground of the heart. We pray at Christian Growth Center to break up the ground of the heart of those that have no relationship with God. I hope that you pray in your own time to break up the heart, your heart. And we say we're breaking up the heart of the people that are coming, and we're breaking up our heart, the ground of our heart, so it's good ground. We need to break up the ground of our heart to receive that harvest. Praying. Somebody needed to hear that again. Turn to James, and let me get back on track here, talking about faith and patience and walking in love and the love in us, returning that love unto God. Love bringing restoration in our life. James 1, verse 2 reads like this out of the Amplified. Talking about God getting us to the other side of our trials. It says, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. With no defects, lacking in nothing. That sounds a lot like restoration to me. And patience, if I can say it this way, is the agent of that restoration. What do I mean by that? My wife's laughing at me because I was looking up the definition of a chemical agent because I wanted to give you an example. It's not a sci-fi example. What does an agent do? Okay, what does a chemical agent do? All right, think of soap, right? When you take that bar, well, they don't have bars of soap hardly anymore. When you squirt that stuff in your hand and you rub it all over your body, that soap is an agent of your cleanliness, right? That soap acts on your body to take away that disgusting odor and replace it with something fragrant, depending on what you like. Could be eucalyptus, could be lavender, could be peach. I don't know. You know, I don't want to know what you like in your... shower, all right? Me, I'm a Old Spice kind of guy. My dad used Old Spice, so I use Old Spice. How many people use the same products that your parents use? Don't answer that. Old Spice. It's an agent. Soap is an agent that gets you clean. It's the power to produce a result of cleanliness. Patience is power to produce a result of restoration. Of restoration. Again, let's look at verse 4. It says, but let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing, restored. And who brings that restoration? God. God brings that restoration. God brings that restoration. Who can deliver you to the other side? God. 2 Timothy, you don't have to turn there, chapter 3, reads like this in verse 10. Now you have closely observed and diligently followed my teaching, conduct, purpose in life, faith, patience, love, steadfastness, persecutions, sufferings, such as occurred to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. Persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Out of them all, He restored Paul. This is Paul in Lystra that was getting stoned to death. That was really, he died. He was stoned to death, carried outside the town and left for dead. And he's saying, what is he saying? But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Indeed, all who delight in piety and are determined to live a devoted and godly life in Christ Jesus will meet with persecution, will be made to suffer because of their religious stand. But God promises, if you are a child of His, He will deliver you out of them all. Sometimes it takes patience. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that He is God. Sometimes we've got to take the time to be still. In today's society, very hard to do, I understand. I got 3 kids. I have a house. I've got cars. I've got property to take care of. I understand how hard it is to be still and know that He is God. But it is possible. And we have to make it priority. We have to take the time to hear from God. Sometimes the answer is, He's been trying to get the answer to us and we're just not taking the time to be still and hear. Or we turn on that selective hearing setting. He's speaking to us. He's sending people alongside of us to help us, to tell us. And we got them tuned out. Or it's bouncing off. Or we're not in love. We have to take time to be still and know that He is God. And He will deliver and restore us out of every trial. Every trial that comes. Not if it comes, but when it comes. Every trial, He will deliver you out of. According to the power working in you. That power is love. Love is so powerful. Love can tear down any wall. It will never fail. We've read that. If you will just love, if you will get a revelation, a revealed truth through by the Holy Spirit of what love is, what it really, truly means. When you can look your enemy in the eye and truly forgive them and love them. I read a story about someone that lost a child at the hand of another man, a person. Child was killed. And it was violent. And it was not pretty. It was not accidental. It was premeditated. And that person was able to forgive that man for what they had done. Brutal, 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 violent death of their child at the hand of someone else. And I couldn't help but think, I've got 3 kids. If that happened to one of mine, would I be able to do that? Would I be able to forgive that person? Would I be able, not only, okay, let's take it a step further. Not only would I be able to forgive them, but would I be able to love them? There was another story I read about a man, a boy really, I think he was 13 or 14, held up this woman. She was older, I mean, 30s maybe by then. Held up this woman, and he was 13 or 14, just real nervous, and she surprised him. I don't know how, I can't remember the story. He ended up shooting her. Shot her in the jaw, went up through her skull. She recovered. Complete recovery. The boy obviously was got sent to juvie, did some things, ended up was going to be in jail for a long, long time. She went to this boy at that time after he had written her a letter. Evidently he, you know, someone had shared the gospel with him, and he had written her a letter and said, I would like to meet with you. Would you consider doing that? And she did. Long story short, she ended up forgiving this boy. But they developed a relationship over time through letters, calls. And when he got out, she was actually instrumental in getting him a job, changing his life. And I think to myself, would I be? I mean, we all have to ask ourselves that. Would we be able to do that? I think it's a good litmus test for us. If you don't have children, if someone, you know, maimed you, would you be able to forgive them? Would you be able to walk in love towards them? Would you be able to help them? I mean, I think that's a picture of the love of God. And it's a good litmus test for us to take inventory of our life. What is my love walk? Because, and let me tell you, if you can do that, that's going to bring restoration to you. That woman completely restored. Physically, yes, but from all the emotional turmoil that brought, that individual restored. Forgiving that person that killed their child. Walking in love towards them. So, who needs to improve their love walk? The good news is you can. It is possible. There is always hope. No matter what trial you're going through, know. Let it be revealed to you deep down. Let it be revelation to you that He'll get you to the other side. He will get you to the other side. Amen? Amen. I know this has maybe been a little sobering to us, or somber. I don't know which word you want to use. But I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, God wants to do something in this day and age, and He wants to do it through His church. That has never changed. He's bringing change to the earth through His church, through you and me. And we have to prepare our hearts. We got to get ready. We've got to get ready. There's a harvest out there. There is a harvest out there waiting. In fact, they're dying. Without us. And we have to go out. Bring them in. We got to bring them in. God will draw them. Listen, the Holy Spirit will do all of that. We just have to be available. Right? I like that acronym. Y'all know it, FAT. I like me a fat woman. Faithful, available, and teachable. Woo! I'm coming over to this side of the room. I'm starting to sweat. I gotta roll my sleeves up. Faithful, available, and teachable. Amen. Oh, glory. Listen, I love y'all desperately. I love you desperately. And I want God's best for you. I want God's best for you. I want you to be pleasing unto God just as I desire to be pleasing unto God. And I want us to be about the Father's business. I want this church to be about the Father's business. I want us doing what we're supposed to, what we're called to do in this earth. I don't want us to just come in on Sundays and that be it. There's more. There's got to be more. Don't y'all have a desire for more? Isn't there just some kind of kindling of some fire inside of you wanting more? And wondering what that looks like, what it is? I desire it. I hope you do too. It's my goal to encourage you each and every week, hopefully, to do your part, to be that part, to become that part where you fit as God has placed you. So, I hope you're encouraged. I hope you got something to chew on this week. I hope that you can take something that God has said this morning, take it throughout your week and apply it in your life, someone else's life. Encourage someone else. You know, don't you always feel better when you lift up someone else? I mean, I do. And sometimes I get down in times and I got to force myself out there to do something good for someone or to say something good to someone or just to smile at someone. You know, sometimes we've got to do it. We've got to push through. We've got to continue. We've got to keep standing. Amen. He'll get us to the other side. Amen. Father, I thank you for each and every soul represented here today. I believe that, Holy Spirit, you are ministering to our hearts. You are showing us things that we may need to change in our own life, showing us things that we may need to do in our own life. And Lord, I believe you're revealing people to us that we need to speak into their life. You are giving us specific things and specific people to say things to or to do things for, all for the glory of your kingdom. Not for our glory, not for us, not for man, but for you, God. So I pray that you take this word, seal it. Seal it to our inner man today. Let it go into that good ground. That ground that's been fertilized and watered and taken care of. Let it not fall by the wayside. Let it not fall on the stony ground. And devil, I just speak to you right now, you will not steal the word of God out of our hearts, but it will remain and produce fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.